Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Well, hi, everyone. Welcome to another segment of the Legends Vodcast here on Eurosport. I'm Mats Wilander, and I am trying to stay away from everybody in the Rocky Mountains in Idaho in the United States. I've got my good friend Boris Becker, who's stuck in London or trying to enjoy. Boris, how are you? I'm hoping you're there.
Yeah, I'm on Wimbledon Centre Court. The picture in the back doesn't show the reality. I'm the only one on court, but yes, we're surviving in London. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us again, Boris. We've done this now once a week here for the last couple of weeks, and today we are very, very happy and excited to be joined by two of the brightest stars on the WTA Tour. First, Bianca Andreescu. A 19-year-old Canadian. Bianca, I'm hoping you're there. Thank you so much for joining us.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
It's a great pleasure. And also another 19-year-old Montreal Canadian fan, which doesn't sit well with me because I'm New York Rangers. But we have Felix Auger-Aliassime. Felix, thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
I got to start straight away. I mean, seriously, you guys are the players that we've been talking about the most for the last year in terms of the young players. You're the youngest woman and man in the top 20, both in the WTA and the ATP, both 19 years old. I mean, first of all, how much have you played together in tennis? You
guys? She's top 10. She's a different stage already.
Yeah, well, she's a Grand Slam champion. Bianca, tell me a little bit about
you. You're getting there. We didn't have the chance to practice a lot together. We did here and there, but I'm more in Toronto training here, and he's more out in Montreal.
Yeah, I think I first saw you, I think, at under 14 national championship, and it was on clay in, like, the north of the province of Montreal, and then I know we played some junior tournaments. I think last time we hit, maybe we warmed up, yep. And we had a grade one junior in Repentigny. I think we warmed up for our match there.
That one's actually on YouTube. We traveled a lot together. The two tournaments though that stood out definitely had to be Junior Davis Cup and Fed Cup with the whole team. We all had, like, so much fun, and then they ended up winning it.
You girls finished third, or?
Yeah, we finished third. That was under that was in Budapest, and then that was in Madrid. That was crazy.
You guys
killed it.
So Felix and Bianca, I believe you're both in Canada. That's correct, right? Mm-hmm. How is the lockdown in Canada? Because I believe your Prime Minister Trudeau was one of the first ones to actually cancel trips for Canadian athletes for the Olympics. So he was, you know, a couple of weeks ahead of the curve, really. How is your daily life there, both?
Well, for me, in Montreal... it's not a, we could say, like, a full lockdown. We're allowed to go out, you know, for walks and for runs. We have to respect 2 meter distance, and basically all the shops that are still open are essential needs. So, and only one family member can go at the time. So, you know, they're trying to be more and more strict, but people are really respectful. For my part, I think people are respecting the rules. People are taking care of each other and really supporting the medical staff. And I've seen also people that I know going and volunteering in charities and giving food. So, no, it's nice to see everyone come together in the province and I guess in the country as well.
And Bianca, yeah, for you?
It's basically the same here. Like, only the essential services and businesses are opened right now. And you barely see anybody on the road. Honestly, it's doing so well for the environment. It's crazy. But there's good and bad in everything. It's just super, super depressing to see what this virus is doing to people. But it's really nice to see how everybody's coming together and one way or another. And I think this time really shows us that we can't take anything for granted, really, like going to see your friends, basically just leaving the house, and especially our health, because eventually if one person is infected in this kind of thing, then everybody else is connected in one way or another.
Well, how are you guys? I mean, it's very important to get physical exercise, and I would say even more so for professional athletes. How are you guys able to hit any tennis balls? Or I saw Felix on your Instagram. You're hitting with a hockey stick the tennis ball against the wall. Bianca, are you guys able to hit anything? Or what does the day look like in terms of working out?
I'm not as creative as Felix, but. I've only been working out right now. It's tough right now in Toronto because they've closed even the parks. So nobody can play tennis or play basketball or even sit on a bench. I think Trudeau is doing a really good job with that because that's like the only way we're going to stop this from spreading. But I've been working in my mind as much as I can. It's a very powerful tool that I like to use.
But guys, there was a tennis tournament this week, the Virtual Madrid Open, and Bianca, you have played. How are you doing?
I totally forgot about that. Oh my gosh, it was such a roller coaster. The first two matches, me and my opponents had such shitty connection that there were so many glitches. And I told them that I don't want to give my opponents the satisfaction of beating me with such shitty connection. Like, I'd rather withdraw, but they're like, no, you already signed up. You have to play. So I made sure to practice a lot. And let me tell you, I wanted to throw my PlayStation out the window. It's such a hard game. I'm not even kidding. And then the match against Sorana was apparently one of the best of the tournament. Even though I lost, at least I got that reputation, but other than that, it's just like something fun to do to bring everyone together. All the WTA players had a group chat that the players that were in the tournament, so we were all talking and just making fun of each other in like more ways than one. It was funny, but hopefully this won't be our future. Hopefully everything will go back to normal so I'd never have to play that video game again.
But Felix, you didn't play. Why didn't you play? And how did you stay busy then? I hear you playing the piano and you know, you're doing all different type of things for a tennis player. Unusual.
I was never into much video games, and I thought, you know, I was doing already other things like training and like I said, yeah, playing piano, reading, and I felt like, you know, I didn't have a big envy of playing the video games on TV and tennis. So I thought I wasn't the best client for it. And I thought other players could be better at it. And no, for my part, I have a program, you know, with my team, we put up a fitness program to keep me active. And we've set up a little gym in my backyard. And my dad put a wall on the garage door so I can hit the ball a little bit. So I'm trying to stay active. I go out for runs, which I'm allowed to. And I went out biking as well. So yeah, I'm keeping fit as much as I can. And the rest of the day, I try to do other things, reading, piano with my mother, and then doing other things, discussing with my family. It's also very important. Taking the time that we don't have, you know, when we're on the road to sit down and talk with your close ones, and then it's really important. But like Bianca said, working on your mind is also good.
Mm. But you guys, I got to ask you, because I mean, what happened? Canadian tennis, suddenly you two, we got Denis Shapovalov, of course, Jeannie Bouchard sort of broke through a little bit, I suppose, mm-hmm. Making a couple of finals. What's different about Canadian tennis? Do you guys know, or is it just seem natural to you that you're from Canada and you're in the top 20? Because for us, it's a little bit of a surprise. Like, what is going on in Canada? What's the answer?
I guess I can start. I don't think it started just now. It's just something over time that's been building up. Thanks to all the other Canadian tennis players that gave us the inspiration and motivation, at least for me. And also being in the Tennis Canada program helped tremendously. They have an amazing platform in place with amazing coaches, fitness trainers, facilities. And just having Felix and Denis and all the other Canadian tennis players together in Montreal whenever I'm there is just a nice thing to see, because we're all one big family and we just enjoy supporting each other and motivating each other, which I think gives us that extra boost. And it's just a bonus that we all peaked at the same time at such a young age. It's just really beautiful to see.
Yeah, all she said. And I think also just the fact that at some point they, you know, decided to invest, you know, with the profits of the tournament, decided to invest a lot in the future of the tennis, developing, you know, future stars, players. And I think sometimes we're bold decisions, you know, taking people from country, getting out of the comfort zone as a federation, and then that, you know, paying results years later. I think there were some key changes that they made in the years that made the difference. But you know, investing in the future, and then the good timing, like she said, that we had a good people, good players, good mentality all at the same time, and motivating each other. Yeah.
Bianca, let me take you back to 2019, winning the Indian Wells tournament with a wild card, then having a pretty solid year, and then ultimately, you know, winning in your home country in Toronto against Serena, and then the breakthrough at the Open, beating Serena again. What happened?
Don't ask me, Boris. man, every time I talk about it, it just brings me in the feels, because 2019 was like the best and worst year of my life. It was definitely a roller coaster. But yeah, my results were definitely the good part of the year, and just me improving as a person and as a tennis player. It was just so nice to see my progression the whole year leading up to the US Open and even afterwards. But I think it started during my preseason. I think I had a really, really good preseason. I felt super confident. I remember I didn't lose a practice set. So I'm like, okay, 2019, I'm coming for you. And then, little did I know what was going to happen in Auckland, I ended up getting to the finals. And I think that just boosted my confidence even more coming into Indian Wells and also Newport. So it's just a buildup. And then I just kept the ball rolling. I didn't let anything go to my head. I wasn't taking anything for granted. I was going out there playing match after match, not focusing on who's on the other side, because I played a lot of tough opponents and opponents that were in the top 10, which never happened to me before, right? That was like my first full year on tour. So it's just incredible how fast that all came together. And yeah, it just It makes me happy talking about it again, actually.
Brings a smile on your face, yeah. Good.
Yeah.
No, but it's incredible. I mean, I'm not sure you guys might be aware of this, but Boris won Wimbledon at the tender age of 17. And he managed to defend his title the year after at the tender age of 18. So, and we always, I was in the tournament and I was saying, well, the reason Boris won was that he was the most mature emotionally, tactically of all the players, and he's 17. What I think you guys have in common, the two of you, is that when I saw you, Bianca, going into playing in the Canadian Open and then in the US Open, I'm like, okay, there's no way she's not going to win. She's going to win this because you seem more calm in our eyes. I'm not sure that's correct in your own heart. And Felix, same thing. I watch you. I'm like, this guy can't be 19. He's a full seasoned pro. Do you feel that? Or is this like a poker face?
Didn't you win also? You won French Open at 18 yeah. or
17? Yeah. Correct. You never mentioned it. You were as young as me. Well, yeah.
He doesn't. Yeah, he does.
You don't want to. You don't mention his, remind but. Me. But really, you guys are so mature. How does that happen? And do you feel that on the court when you're playing, even though you're only 19?
Okay, I'll start then.
Yeah, go ahead, Bianca.
For me, I grew up as an only child. And my parents' goal raising me was to raise an independent child, meaning being able to go and travel by myself without needing my parents, because ultimately that's what adulthood is. You have to be independent and everything. And being an only child obviously helped with that. And then I don't know, I have my moments. Obviously when I was younger I was crazy on the court, like I would smash rackets, maybe not exactly during the match, but after matches, it was just a disaster, because I always had this willingness to always compete at my best. And when I didn't, or if I regretted a specific thing, I would get so down on myself. But it was just a learning experience. And I've learned that wasn't helping me win matches. And then I studied a lot of tennis players, in particular, Kim Clijsters and Roger Federer. And because those, and still are, my favorite tennis players, like growing up, I would say, that I watched the most. And I just saw that they were so calm and composed. They had a complete game style. And that's how I wanted to be. Obviously, I wanted to make a name for myself. But they were definitely like a stepping stone.
No, yeah, for my part, a bit like she said, I think it's a big part of how you were raised, you know, education and how you are as a person. I think you bring that to the court. That's the first thing. But then also, it was tough for me to manage my emotions growing up in juniors. And obviously, I was getting my ambitions were very high and very perfectionist. And I would get very angry and frustrated with myself deeply, you know, when I wasn't playing to my expectations or competing to my expectations. And then I think there was a bit of a time at some point that I realized that I was giving myself better chances to win by staying calm. And really when I figured that out, and I just felt it inside of me that I was giving myself the best chances of winning when I was staying calm, then it was just like a decision, like, okay, well, always try to, you know, figure out a way, always try to adjust, try to find a positive. I think once I won a few matches like this, and I was like, oh, this works, you know? So I just kept on going and kept believing that that was the way to handle myself. But also when I remember I first played my first ATP Tour match in Rotterdam 2018, first main draw, I took a decision that that's the way I wanted to be. And I just wanted to stick to that. And ever since, so I think it was also a decision made, a commitment to myself. So
cool. Boris, yeah, can you relate?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, we are all alone on the court. And if we don't believe we have a chance, nobody will. And I was so impressed with both of you about, you know, your mental attitude and your strength and your determination. I mean, you know, Bianca, you know, watched the US Open final, and you could tell that Serena was afraid of you. But you not only had an interesting story on the court, but off the court. So you were born in Canada. At the tender age of 7, you went back to Romania just to come back to Canada at 11. I have a lot of friends in Bucharest, and they all say, she's one of us, she's one of us. How do you feel?
About that?
Yeah. They always say, she's not Canadian, she's Romanian. And then I speak to my Canadian friend, no, she's one of us. How do you feel? I mean, it's a tough one.
Yeah, for sure. I'm definitely in between. Obviously, my parents are Romanian. They grew up there, but I was born in Canada. I was raised in Canada. But my tennis career did skyrocket I guess the beginning of everything was there. That's what I mean. I picked up my first racket there. So
in Romania.
It definitely has a special place in my heart. But deep down, I mean, I am Canadian, but I am Romanian. Yeah. I don't want to say the wrong thing.
No. And it's a tough one. It's a wonderful story, though.
I mean, the Romanian fans are honestly next level. Like, they are everywhere you go.
That's what I mean.
Where there's a Romanian tennis player playing in that tournament, there's going to be like a herd of Romanians, which is amazing. And I think it just brings a different vibe on the court when you're there to see as many people supporting you and just coming down from Romania. I mean, there are some in China, actually. So that dedication is just respect. That's all I can say.
Well, there's one Romanian girl in front of you, unfortunately, I must tell you. Her name is Simona Halep. Are you good pals? Yeah. You practice one another, or you competitors?
Well, we are all competitors, but off the court, we're friendly. Yeah. She's a really nice person. The first time I met her was actually in Canada at the Rogers Cup back in 2016 or 2017. I don't remember exactly. In Montreal, we were doing this mini clinic, the Olympic Stadium over there. And I remember she gave me some really good advice and said nice things about me because she saw me play. I don't remember when and how, but she said she did. She called me my game style, which is really nice. And then on tour, we've seen each other and we talk Romanian together. And then I ended up playing her in Shenzhen, and that was just like a unbelievable match. It was one of the best matches I've played up until the third set. But it was really cool to actually have one of my idols, I would say, turn into rival. It's something incredible.
It's incredible. Felix, I got to ask you, because I know that you're very involved in trying to raise money and awareness. I believe back home, I guess you can call it, in Togo. And talk to us a little bit about your involvement with trying to help kids that are not so fortunate. Are they playing tennis, or what's your role here?
No, my role essentially is that through my career, I wanted to find a way to, while I was playing, to, you know, put some money on the side to help these kids, to give them opportunities, because I believe that, you know, I had opportunities around me to achieve whatever I wanted to achieve, you know, with hard work and everything. But I feel like some kids out there, or some people, they can be all hard workers and they can have great hearts, but the opportunities around them. So my idea was, with the help of my partner BNP Paribas, was to give these kids opportunities first to study, to have good infrastructures. They're gonna renovate football courts. You know, eventually down the road, maybe tennis courts. But it's more difficult in these countries. But I think it all came from my dad. I wasn't born there. I wasn't raised there. But just going there one time, seeing what they need, It stuck with me, and through my dad's education, always I wanted to give back whenever I would have the chance. And now this year it was a good timing, and I felt like it was a time to find a way to give some back to these people. And I'm going to start there, and who knows where it will lead me.
Bianca, before you have to go, unfortunately, I have a few more questions for you, Felix, afterwards. You're the current US Open champion. Yeah. Are you able to defend your title, Bianca? Do you have any news for us?
I don't know what the future has to hold, but I will tell you that I'm going to give my best. I don't like losing. So we'll see. That's definitely the goal, is to win every other Grand Slam as well. Because I want to reach that number one spot. I really do.
Importantly, we don't have any tournament yet. So I was wondering whether you had some updates of whether the US Open will take place or not. That's really the core of my question.
Oh, I have no idea. Yeah. I really have no idea. With everything that's going on now, it's really tough to say. It varies day by day. There's some cases in one day, and then there's way more the next. But if everyone can just keep social distancing, that's the only way we're going to get rid of this. Unless they come with a vaccine, but then that's just like another topic that's pretty controversial right now. But other than that, no, just going to try to have that in the back of my head every time I do my fitness, and hopefully I can step back on the court.
Super. Yeah, we're all looking forward to that.
Yes, we are. Bianca, thank you so much. We're going to let you go. Another appointment. So, Bianca, thank you very much. Good luck. Stay safe. Stay home. We will see you soon, hopefully out in the world of tennis. Thank you.
Yes, hopefully. Thank you for having me once again.
Thanks, Bianca.
Enjoy the rest of it. Bye.
Thank you.
Yeah. Felix, I got to ask you, and I know that sometimes I think you guys know that when you get onto these calls and you do press conferences, we might ask you an unpleasant question. You have made, is it 5 or 6 finals? And you're still looking for your first?
5, yeah.
It's something that I hate to bring it up, but I would say you have to talk about it. You got to kind of think, what's going on? What do you feel? You've had some tough opponents, obviously, but for you to play a final, is it different than a semis? It was for me, because on Monday morning, we're all going home. Whether you win or lose, it's over. And the semis, you still have a match to play, so you need to win it. What's up with you and finals? How do you feel going into these big matches?
I think it got to my head probably this year. Last year, as 18 or 19 year old, my first final. I hate to regret things, but if I had to regret one final that I don't like to think about is the first one, just because I felt like I had more of an opportunity. If we look at the rankings of the opponents I faced on paper, it's obvious that the one that was reachable was the first one.
Yeah.
And then I was a bit overwhelmed. I had a very emotional win in semifinals, and it was like a big achievement making the finals. And I just remember a year ago, with less experience, and I just felt a bit overwhelmed and couldn't really play. And it was very hot that day, and I just physically was drained, emotionally drained, and I just didn't play a good match, and I missed my match. So that was very frustrating thinking back now. But I was like, okay, it's my first final. I'm young. Okay, I'm going to have others. And then every final was a bit different. The second one, I hurt my groin, and I couldn't really play to my best level. And the second set, I was walking on court, had to pull out of French Open right after. And then the third one in Stuttgart, that was one that was hurtful. It hurt also because it was so close against Berrettini. Just one little break of serve. I would have to watch it again, but I think in the first set with some, maybe 1 or 2 dumb mistakes on my service game in the middle of the first set. And then going to the tiebreak, I think it was 12-10 in the tiebreak second set. And he's just serving unbelievable. So that one hurt because it was so close. But at the same time, the level of the match was good. And then the fourth and fifth final this year, that's really when a bit got to my head. I just felt like, okay, they're two top 10 opponents, Monfils and Tsitsipas, so you have to give it to them. They played good. But I just felt like I didn't want to – the pressure was more – I didn't want to lose. I was more anxious. You know, you get that stress before matches all the time, but those finals, it's like you feel it times 10. And it was just like not a – it was not a good feeling. And it was like, oh, I don't want to miss my chance again to win my first title. And then I fought, gave everything, but I just felt like my level wasn't the best. So it's obviously frustrating when you feel like you're not giving yourself the best chances. But I think all the finals are – a bit different from one another. So I don't try to look at it as a whole thing. Like I lose finals. It's five tennis matches. It's five different occasions. But every time it hasn't gone my way and for different reasons, but I'm trying to find the clue, I guess, to find a way.
Yeah.
But Felix, on a positive note, you're the first teenager that reached back-to-back finals in Marseille and Rotterdam since Novak Djokovic. So it's no shame in losing to, you know, some of these guys you mentioned. Mm-hmm. What do you think the difference is? And I mean, you played with Federer, Djokovic, Nadal. You obviously watched them a lot on television. Now, when you face them in practice or in a match, are they really so much better?
Are they really so much better?
So much better than the rest?
Well, I think so, but I think it's the consistency of what they bring, because we can watch one match, we can watch one practice and feel like, okay, one guy with 15 world and Djokovic are hitting the ball clean or are playing well. But I think it's the difference is the consistency of their level and their mentality and the engagement they put into things. I think that makes a big difference. And for me, a big thing is the good habits they put in place. I think these guys have been repeating good habits and have put good things in place every day throughout their whole careers. And I think when they come in tight situations, when they come in pressure situations, they repeated these things so much that instinctively their level is just above the rest. And I guess the rest of players maybe fall a little bit under and they rise on top because they've repeated so much and they've just been consistent in their actions. And I guess with time that has made a big difference. And I think for example, Nadal, it's just when you see him hit his forehand again and again and again, I think it comes back to probably when he was 12 years old, you know, it's just putting good things in place, practices and matches every day. And then now it's like automatic.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's very interesting. The other thing I need to ask you about, Felix, because you mentioned a very good friend of mine and Boris is in. You wanted to face Yannick Noah, I read somewhere, and that would be your goal, to face Yannick Noah in a match or something. How is Yannick Noah your hero? Because we know things about Yannick that you don't want to know, right, Boris?
Exactly.
Oh, tell us about Yannick.
No, but I guess it was, because we watched interviews. He says something in French. He says "sa cavale," and basically means like a horse that is like it's an expression in French, basically. And the way he said it, I thought it was so funny. So we've used that with my team, and I've used that over the time. And then I was watching videos of him, and it was just obviously a very entertaining, very explosive player. And I guess it would have been interesting to play him because he was he looked exciting to face and exciting to watch. Obviously I didn't grow up watching him. I just saw past videos of him, and I thought playing him or even in France or at French Open would have been was probably a crazy experience. So I think you lost to him that final that he won. Maybe you know more about how it was playing him, but I don't know, it could have been exciting.
No, yeah, let me interrupt there, Mats, because you're absolutely right, Felix. There's one guy that understands Yannick Noah, it's Mats Wilander. So the next time you guys get together in Cotonou, you guys have a glass of water, and Felix, listen to some of the stories Mats has about Yannick Noah, because he knows okay. better than anybody, all right?
No, but I tell you very quick. So I lost. So he obviously beat me in 1983 at the French Open. I was overwhelmed by his, what you said, Felix. He brought this emotion and the French fans. But I was not disappointed. I even went into the locker room after the finals. I walked over to his section. And I asked one of his friends, I said, hey, guys, hey, where is Yannick going to celebrate? Because I want to go there and I want to just see how he celebrates. I don't want to have a glass of champagne with him. I just want to go and have a look because I was so – and I went and I saw him. And obviously, yes, we're very good friends. Boris, you name one of your kids, Noah, I believe, right?
Yeah. So,
he's a massive hero, I think, for our generation, Boris. So you're spot on, Felix. A great guy, and he's funny, and he brings it every time. So, Felix, for me, you're one of the future stars. You're going to get over that final thing. That's not a problem at all. But we have to ask you, because we need young people. We need people like you guys to start winning these Grand Slam tournaments. And our average age of our tennis fan is too old. ATP and the WTA, there's talk about joining the two tours. Where you, for you as a 19-year-old, where do you like to see tennis, and which direction would you like it to go in terms of technology and the age of fans?
Well, that's I mean, that news of joining is pretty recent. I think I would have to learn more about what it, you know, what it involves and everything, and I'm not sure exactly to understand what would be the changes essentially, you know, with the joining ATP in WTA. But about about the young players, I agree. I think obviously people need to see new faces win big tournaments. I'm a part of that, and there's players like a bit older than me that are also getting very much closer, you know, with Medvedev and Tsitsipas and Zverev and Dominic. But for sure, we have to push. But I think the tough part is the level that these top three you guys still play. And I think with the commitment and everything and the knowledge on the high level, now they're pushing limits in terms of how long they can sustain that level. And I just feel like now to be, you saw a player like Stan won his first Grand Slam, I think, at most 29 or 30 years old.
Yeah.
So I reckon it's pretty, I don't know, that's it. For me, I'm young, but I feel like it's new, something new to see. And I think they're always pushing barriers in terms of playing well at older age. So that is obviously their from as youngsters, but I think I'm not a big fan of, you know, I like the history of tennis. I like the way it's played. Obviously I feel the need to bring things interesting, but I'm not quite sure of the way, because I like the duel. I like the duel, the tension of two players competing. So if you ask me about you know, the more Americanized way of sports with on-court coaching and shorter matches and you know, like interacting like, you know, NBA or NHL, I think, yeah, that's more of an American way to see it. But I think you have to respect the history of the sport and the duel and the fights, like two gladiators going on courts. And I think that's essentially the essence of tennis. So I'm for my part, I'm a big fan of that. But I can understand that people of my generation want to see shorter things, more exciting, but I don't know if that's good in the future. I'm not sure. Yeah.
I must say I agree with you, Felix, and you have an old head on your 19 young shoulders. It's amazing. And just to allude more to Mats's point, you mentioned a couple of your colleagues, you know, younger players. Which is the core group? What about your Canadian friend Shapovalov? I saw you guys this year in Brisbane. And he played, you know, amazing tennis. What is, in all honesty, the four or five players you really think will, let's say, the next 10 years, staying healthy, obviously, and no other lockdown in the future, who's the core group in your point of view, including yourself? I thought you can't speak about yourself, but who's the core group in your eyes?
Tsitsipas, I think. We can talk about the way they play, but I look at the mentality. I look at the seriousness they bring into their engagement, they bring into their sport in their game. And for me, a guy like Tsitsipas, I beat him twice last year, and then you just feel like he raised his level the last two times we played. He beat me, and I just felt big improvements in his game, physically, mentally, the way he moved, the way he defended. So for me, that's a big sign of, you know, someone that's willing to work hard and sacrifice a lot and make the improvements. So for me, he has the mentality, and he's proved it already. But I think for sure, you know, he has what it takes. Dominic Thiem, obviously he's been so close, and but I wouldn't put him in my generation. I mean, we're almost 10 years apart, so I think that's also a different age. If I focus more around my age group, Dennis, obviously good friend of mine, I think would have what it takes. He's also been willing to make changes in his game, you know, working with usually using the slice a little more, mixing things up, being more patient, working his point a little more. When I was watching him from close up in the ATP Cup, it was amazing to see, you know, the improvements he did. Unluckily, you know, the rest of the season wasn't going as planned for him, but just from what he proved in ATP Cup, 7-6 in the third against Novak, great match. I think he's showing good things to go deep in his career. And younger than me, 1 year, Yannick Sinner. I'm very impressed by what he does. Obviously, he's still just 1 year, just almost on the tour, a bit like myself. But just me, it's not in terms of results. It's just the way he's practicing, the way, because I practice with him often in Monte Carlo, and the way he's training, the way he's practicing, the way he hits the ball technically, is just very, very solid. So I've always been impressed since day one by what he's done. So that's in the group. And then I would just finish by Zverev and Medvedev, that have obviously been established now and a little bit. And Zverev, like everyone, has gone through his ups and downs, Medvedev too. But when a player like Zverev is just 23 this year, I think, and has been constantly in the top 10, constantly reaching, you know, finals and titles every year, I think it's just it's a proof of greatness, and this time will come to win big tournaments. And for me, that's the four or five players that I've named: Tsitsipas, Shapovalov, Sinner, Medvedev, Zverev. Tsitsipas. Yeah, I think that's a great group that has all the things. And I might have forgotten some. Rublev. Also,
you've forgotten yourself, my brother.
Yeah, maybe me too. But obviously, I want to do great things in the sport, so I'm including myself in that group. I wanna be with these guys. I wanna compete for big titles against these guys.
Well, I tell you what, Felix, we're gonna let you go here, but too, I think Boris, I'm sure I'm speaking for you too. For me, you guys are the most exciting generation that's come up since Rafa and Andy and Novak's generation, I have to say, because the generation right behind them, and I know Milos Raonic, of course, fellow Canadian, Kei Nishikori, but they got beaten up so many times by the big four that used to be with Andy Murray in there. But you guys, with Dennis one-handed backhand, with Stefanos one-handed backhand, with you, you're sort of a combination between Novak and Rafa. Federer is thrown in there with Tsitsipas, and I mean, it's Medvedev is a complete different tennis player. So for us, you're the future, and it's so fun to watch you guys play. Boris, we're gonna let you guys go. Let Felix go. Thank you so much for joining us, Boris.
It's always talking.
A pleasure. We will see you around the corner, hopefully, Felix. Good luck with everything. Stay safe, and we will talk to you soon. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
Felix. Thank you, Mats.
Bye bye.
Thank you, Boris.
Bye bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real, frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.